Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn what you need to know before you send a care package overseas and get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on health care for our veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
No better friend, no worse enemy. There are few organizations more feared by freedom's foes and more admired by the world than our United States Marine Corps. Montezuma, Tripoli, Chosin, Iwo Jima, and Fallujah. We know these names because brave Marines stepped up to serve us, fighting and winning our nation's battles and wars. This month, Marines around the world, including many here in Minnesota, celebrate the Marine Corps birthday. They celebrate their proud lineage, earned through hundreds of years of service and sacrifices made by generations of Americans who proudly take on the nicknames Devil Dogs and Leathernecks. Our Marines have time and time again proven to be always faithful. Semper Fi, Marines, and happy birthday.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. With 700 troops deploying as we enter the holiday season, history proves that organizations will come out of the woodwork to send care packages to troops. Timing of these toiletries and food items to Kuwait and Iraq before the holiday will be difficult and are not needed yet. Meanwhile, the military families here in Minnesota have needs as they cover down on all the contributions their soldier made daily to their family network. And we have two guests today to join us, to talk about this. First is Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman, who is the Rear Detachment Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thank you for having me.
And second, an old friend of the show and partner, Captain Melanie Nelson, who's a public affairs officer for the Minnesota National Guard. Melanie, last time we talked, you were overseas.
I was, Tom. I'm glad to be here looking at your face right now today.
Well, some people would say there's something wrong with you, Captain, but that's okay. We're happy to have you back in the studio and not overseas. Colonel, I want to start with you. Can you tell us how long you've been in the military?
Well, Tom, I've been in the military a total of 27 years. I enlisted as a medic right out of high school, and through that training, they had a LPN program, a licensed practical nurse. I did that in the Army and Army Reserves, and I was about to call it quits, and just I'd done my commitment. I was going to go to college, and then a really good friend from high school and it notified me that there was opportunities in the National Guard to fly helicopters. So I jumped at that opportunity in 2000, went to flight school, and have been doing that ever since.
Boy, I think it'd be great if I was running around Kuwait somewhere and my pilot was also a combat medic in case something was wrong. There you are.
It works out. Little unpolished, but I think I could probably get the job done or find somebody that could do it.
First aid, you've always got that, Colonel. I'm sure
right.
You do. Now, I understand you've been deployed four times?
Yes. So first deployment was Bosnia, back when the division, the Minnesota National Guard went in 2004. And then I went to Iraq with the Aviation Brigade in 2008, and then to Kuwait, to Camp Buring, Kuwait in 2014, and then most recently with the 34th Infantry Division to Camp Arachon, Kuwait.
So you just got back last year?
Yep. In about July of last year, we returned.
And that was part of the division deployment?
That's part of the division, the 34th Red Bull deployment.
Okay. And now you're with the, you moved over to the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, the Red Devils, I think.
That's correct. The Red Devils. I moved back. That's kind of where I grew up since 2000. I've always been in different positions within the Aviation Brigade. This last deployment was with the higher headquarters, the division. And so now I consider myself back with the Aviation Brigade.
And you're the Rear Detachment Commander, which means Colonel Fix went out with all the troops, and they're down southern part of the United States training, I understand.
Right. So they're down near Fort Hood, Texas, training up and getting certified to go and do the mission overseas. And then, yes, I'm the Rear Detachment Commander.
And that took most of the brigade to go over to Kuwait, I would think.
Most of them will be in Kuwait and other areas in that area, but a lot of the logistics and administration will be out of Kuwait.
So since you just got back from a deployment, you get to head up the brigade back here and make sure that you're supporting those that are deployed.
Absolutely. And, you know, they wanted to build the team to go forward, so they had to put priority there. But since I just returned, it was kind of the perfect kind of amalgamation of, you know, filling a need back here since I just deployed, and they had the team to go forward.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brummond and Captain Melly Nelson on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, since you just got back from that deployment with Division, how did it go for your family?
Well, I can tell you, so deploying four times, all that was with my family. I've had, you know, not all of my children have had all four deployments, but my wife has. And so just like I get more experience, and as anybody goes through their different professions, they get more experience. My wife has been, you know, got great experience in going that. Not all good, but, you know, it still helped and informed this last deployment. And I'd say, you know, there was a number of issues, and you kind of talked about it at your opening, that we have a family unit and everybody plans to, you know, take on in their life what they can handle and then have still time for family and for, you know, recreation. And when you have that unit like that and then someone deploys, I mean, that those things are still there. So there's all those tasks and things that she had to do on her own. And she's a crazy resourceful person. I mean, it went really well, but there's still some opportunities and some times that we, you know, that were different this time. Like, for instance, you know, the proverbial dishwasher broke. And so she's a very, very resourceful person. So she used the internet and looked at tools to troubleshoot it. She watched some YouTube videos, and she, out of her, you know, novice knowledge of dishwasher repair that she'd learned over that process, she thought, well, the pump needs to be removed or replaced because of all the diagnosis. And the thing I think that was interesting about that, about her being home, is that when she called the repair person out there, she had explained that this is what I did and was completely disregarded. And the repair person went through 3 hours of diagnostic doing exactly what she did and said, well, the pump needs to be replaced. And so I don't know if that would have happened when I was home, but she could still take care of the, you know, the day to day and then some. I mean, she's an amazing partner. But then I think there's this lumber line that, you know, for instance, a garage door, the little lasers were off to the safety thing, so it wouldn't shut properly. So that was below the lumber line of all the things she had to do. So she just would bypass the garage door opener and use, you know, the mechanical way of opening and shutting the door because of that. So there's things like that, but the deployment overall went pretty well, I would say.
Colonel, I'm sure she went through the training with you before you deployed. And was she aware of all the various resources that were available to help her?
Absolutely. And I think she called on them when situations developed that she needed additional resources or help, or more of it was just networking too. And so that was an opportunity for her to get in contact with other families and to other spouses or family members that are behind.
So after four deployments, she's learned how to take care of things by herself.
100%.
And then when you get home, here's your list. Here's things for you to fix.
Well, it's interesting because that's what you'd think, but she's already got a system down. And so I got to come back and incorporate myself into her system. I thought, well, I'll just come back and do the things that I would normally do, but she's already figured out how to do all this stuff when I'm gone. So if I come in and just start doing them, then it disrupts the system. So that's something that I have to learn, you know, when I come back to make sure I'm, you know, incorporating myself into her system.
Well, after four deployments, sir, she's probably got you trained, so you know how to do this.
100%. You know, she rings the bell, and I go open the door.
Colonel, I want to talk about the 700 soldiers that are deploying, and I've already heard a lot of people saying they want to help, they want to do gift boxes, they want to do things. I think we need to remind our listeners that they're training, they're in preparation for the deployment to Kuwait. Probably not going to get there all at once, and they're not going to get there for the holidays. So if our listeners want to help, we want our listeners just to slow down a little bit.
Absolutely. And as we talked about before, I mean, there's a great value to slowing down. And as you mentioned, they are in transition. So one thing, if you sent them a package now, they might be gone by the time it got there. They're not going to be to a place where you could send it now and they could receive it. And so I think that slowing down piece is important. One, because I think there's a tendency to have a lot of energy and a lot of support at the very beginning of a deployment. And then when I think soldiers really need those packages and they really need the things from home and the reminder of people thinking of them back home is in the middle of the deployment and towards the end. And so I think if folks can kind of save it for a little bit later and then we can, you know, send it there. If not, there are agencies that we can refer them to that can help make that connection.
So our message for the listeners today is if you want to support those troops or those soldiers from the ECAB that are deploying to Kuwait, wait till plan on it after the first of the year, January, February, and then there's a website to go to. Melody, what's that website?
So, Tom, if you just Google Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, you can click on the website, and right there on the homepage is a button that says Make a Difference, and you can register to support, we're hoping, military families during this month, but you can get connected with how you can support our troops.
And when they do want to put together a care package, is there a list of items that are wanted and needed, other than, you know, candy or some things that they don't really need or want?
There's not, Tom, but we can certainly get connected if they register to support. We can answer those questions individually.
So go on that website, ask the question. You'll give them a list of what the troops really need and want, like wipes and some of those things. And we don't need to send junk over there. We need to send the things that they really appreciate.
You know, and some do it better than others. Once you get connected with a group, you can actually have a dialogue. I did when I was deployed. I had a dialogue with someone back home, and they'd say, what would you need? We would almost put in a request of things that we couldn't access there, and they would send us truly stuff that we need, not things that we didn't need or chocolate that was going to melt in the middle of the desert in the summer. So
common sense says if you really want to make a difference, find out what they want. Let's get that, and then go to the next step.
Yeah, so that first step is just registering on the Make a Difference button on the Yellow Ribbon website, and then we'll get you connected so you can really, truly make a difference.
Very good. We'll talk about this more in the second segment. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman and Captain Melody Nelson on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman, who is the Rear Detachment Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, and he's got 700 soldiers down in Texas training to go to Kuwait, and they're going to be over there for a large part of 2020. And we're also talking to Captain Melody Nelson, who is a public affairs officer in the Minnesota National Guard. And what we want to talk about with Melody is the Take Care of My Family campaign, which will focus the good intentions of Minnesota's, where it really supports the deployed soldier by supporting their families through a three-step deliberate communication campaign during November, the month of the military family. And Melanie, as we said in the first segment, you just got back from a deployment a while back yourself.
I did, Tom. I made it home just days before Christmas last year.
Good for you.
Yes, but I tell you what, I hardly remember Christmas because it's such a whirlwind when you get back.
Sure was.
Yeah.
And of course, we talked to you by telephone and technology from Kuwait. And how's it going with your family after being back for a while?
It's good. But I tell you what, I've been home now as long as I was deployed. And just finally, things are kind of normal again. Reintegration is a very, very long process. Everyone learns new ways of doing things, new food they like, new times they like to wake up. And it takes patience in the whole family to really make it through reintegration.
So when you were gone, your husband and family learned how to live without mom being around.
They did.
And then when you came back, who's this lady in here that's trying to tell us what to do? We've just got done doing all this stuff. It is a little touchy, a little difficult, isn't it?
It is. And in some cases, like the colonel was saying, they have their own way of doing things. And in other cases, like I don't think one of them has done a load of laundry since I've been back. You know, there are some things that they were very ready to give back to me. And I was very happy to be home to contribute.
And from what I've seen on Facebook, you've been really busy with your family since you got home, too.
We have been. You know, especially being gone, you take a step back and you really value relationships, your family, your friends. It brings a whole different meaning to family. It does.
And Melody, now this is the month of the military family.
Yes.
And you're working with the National Guard team to highlight our families this month. And of course, with that experience you just went through, you know what the families need and what they want, and how's this all going to pull together? Can you tell us about it?
I can. So November, month of the military family, it's actually since 1993, November has been recognized as month of the military family. And a lot of families, you know, Major or Colonel, excuse me, Colonel Brahman's wife maybe knew who to ask. My husband never asked anyone, and I saw that would be happening. And so before I left, I invited all my friends and family to my house, and I had a wall of posters for each month I'd be gone. And I wouldn't let people leave the house until they signed up for a week to drop off a meal or, you know, drop off something to engage with my family. So most of the weeks they had an engagement that I had pre-planned because I knew that my family wasn't going to ask for anything. But there were a few things. For example, when my husband went to go put up the pool in the backyard in the spring and he couldn't quite get it, enough people were checking in on him that my old boss saw he needed help and just showed up and just helped. And so that connection, the connection that you make with the community that you belong to, and just the community just stepping in and not waiting to be asked, just supporting those military families that you know in your community are going through a deployment. You don't have to wait to be asked.
And Melanie, we've been talking about Yellow Ribbon communities for years.
Yes.
Because they all started here. And the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, we'll come over and help them mow the grass or we'll shovel the snow. But there's some simple things like maybe just stopping by, have another adult to talk to, have a cup of coffee.
It would totally. And one of the coolest things that my family got to experience while I was gone, and it wasn't even from my close network, a movie theater, a movie theater in our area in White Bear Lake, donated movie tickets, not only movie tickets, but an annual family pass to my family. They sent it to my family while I was gone, so they could get out on a Friday night and go to the movie theater. And the best thing about it was when I got home, I got to go with them. So I got to experience what they did for fun without me while I was gone. And that was so cool.
And maybe go back and see one or two of their favorite movies.
Huh? Yeah. They said, well, this is where we do it, Mom, because it was a different theater for us. It was this is how we order a pizza when we get here. And so it was really, really fun. And there are all kinds of unique opportunities like that. While shoveling snow is great, even sending cards to the families here, not just troops overseas.
It's just to check in and say, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some simple little things.
It goes a long way because those families, it's a lot. You know, I can remember one day I was in Kuwait and my daughter was 15 and she just was crying on the phone to me. And I'm in Kuwait a gazillion miles away. There's absolutely nothing that I can do.
Helpless.
But she just felt so alone, you know, and so I'm almost going to cry right now. But the only thing I could do then is reach out, you know, and call someone who I know was close and say, hey, please go over and pick up Annie after school. I'm worried about her. Can you just
give her a
up
hug.
And
yeah,
exactly.
We're speaking with Captain Melanie Nelson and Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, we've got to keep moving here.
Yeah.
We started with the colonel and we were talking about the ECAB.
Yeah.
It's in training and transition and they're going to get over to Kuwait after the first of the year. And we were talking about care packages.
Yes.
Can we dig into that a little bit more?
Totally. So while care packages are phenomenal, I loved them to death while I was there. The soldiers really do have the things that they need. For the most part, the best thing about care packages is when they're tailored to the person, when they include a letter to the person who's receiving them, those really mean so much because you really know you're being thought of. The tricky thing with this ECAB right now is it's going to be, just this morning I got a phone call at the office. A church wants to send care packages to the troops over Christmas. And I said, well, that's fantastic. But
we're not sure where they're going to be.
Right. And we do have some troops from the Minnesota National Guard in the Middle East right now. At the second, not a lot, a few dozen. But yeah, so I kind of redirected the lady and I said, you know, the soldier might love a care package, but the soldier might really, really, really love knowing that someone's supporting his or her family.
Amelia, I want to ask you this question because I know when you're deployed, you get into a daily routine.
You do.
You go to breakfast, you work out, you do your job, you do your things, and you know what you expect when you're on that deployment day after day after day. But your family back home, they got to react to circumstances. Things change every day.
Yeah.
Seems to me like the families have it a little tougher than the troops.
Most definitely. They definitely have it harder than the troops. And there'd be times where my husband would reach out to me and ask my opinion or how do I handle this? And And you just feel so helpless because I had to say, whatever you decide will be the right decision. There's nothing that I can do to help you. I can't, you know, there's nothing that I can do from that far away. So,
Melanie, we were talking about the Take Care of My Family campaign and the fact that it's a three-step deliberate communication campaign.
Yes.
Can you describe that quickly?
I can. So there's three steps to supporting military families during Month of the Military Family. First, if you know someone who's deployed, a person at church, an acquaintance, don't wait. Reach out and support them. Drop off a card at their house. Number two, if you live in a town that's yellow ribbon or you work for a company that's yellow ribbon, I mean, we all see the road signs when we come into the when we pass through the towns in Minnesota beyond the yellow ribbon. Get involved. Google, maybe it's on the city website, or just Google yellow ribbon and connect to the city and just network with the people who are supporting military families in your community or at your workplace. There's more than 300 yellow ribbon communities in Minnesota. Finally, if you're not networked, if you don't know anyone who's deployed, that's what we're here to help. Just Google Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Minnesota, click on the website, and there's a Make a Difference button, and just register, and then we'll connect you to your network or to a family who is seeking something that you have to offer. Maybe it is snow shoveling. Maybe it is one of those great, those frozen meals that you can throw in the crock pot, and maybe that's what it is.
Very good. Thanks, Captain.
Yeah.
Colonel, those three steps sound familiar to you. Sound pretty good.
Sound very, very good and very familiar, yeah. I mean, it's a great way to link those resources to the families that need them and to specifically give them what they need.
Well, Colonel, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come visit with us. And I know you're going to take good support of all your troops and their families back home. And Melanie, great to see you in the studio.
Thanks, Tom.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman and Captain Melanie Nelson on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and learn all about health care for our veterans. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on health care for our veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Our Minnesota veterans' homes provide quality health care in an environment of trust, dignity, and sharing. Our homes provide a safe and comfortable environment for veterans and their spouses to call home. Veterans' homes are located across the state in five locations, including Minneapolis, Fergus Falls, Hastings, Laverne, and Silver Bay. In addition to these homes, plans are moving forward for three new veterans' homes, which will be located in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. Our vision is to continually develop and deliver a safe, dignified, and compassionate health care system while providing a nurturing and engaging home environment for our Minnesota heroes. We deliver personalized care according to the individual needs of each resident. Our facilities are operated 24/7 to ensure the safety and comfort of our veterans. If you are a loved one or interested in applying to one of our veteran homes, applications are available at minnesotaveteran.org. At the Minnesota Veterans Homes, every day is Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Doug Hughes was appointed the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in July 2016. In that role, he oversees operations for Minnesota's five state veterans homes and the healthcare division. And Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me back, Tom.
No, I like the commissioner's message. Every day is Veterans Day in one of your homes, and I believe that to be true from what I've seen.
That is true. And if you there, we had an open house and a job fair up in Silver Bay yesterday, and the news team from Duluth, that's their headline for the news segment is Every Day is Veterans Day, and we truly believe that, and we truly live by that as well.
Yeah, I like it. Now, Doug, you've been over there for a few years, but we had a change this year because we had a new governor and a new commissioner. How's that all going?
So far, so good. You know, with change, everybody's got to feel each other. You know, they're what they do, what they don't like, those sort of things. But so far, I think everything is going real well. We've had some additional changes to our staff. We've brought in some more staff over from the federal VA. We've brought in Paula Nowinski as our quality director, Carolyn Schauer as our clinical director, and I'd just like to thank Pat Kelly for having that great feeder system for us, because they're all federal VA employees and we're looking for more.
We were just out there a few weeks ago and did a live show with Director Kelly at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and he works with everybody, with the Department of Veterans Affairs, with the Veteran Service Officers. He's really trying to even ties in the MACV to help with homelessness. So he's a great guy, and I don't know if he likes you raiding his personnel out there, but so long as you get some good people, it's okay.
I see Pat at very, very many events.
He's always informative, and he's a very caring man. So happy to have him as a part of the program and a recurring person on the program. Now, one of the things that struck me was we have a new commissioner, Larry Herkey, and he came over from the Minnesota National Guard, and he had a lot of experience over at the Minnesota National Guard because he was taking care of facility management, construction, building things. And of course, we have three new homes coming up. He looks like he'd be a handy guy to have around when you're building three new veterans homes.
He does have that facilities experience, and that's very welcome. Recently, we did some last-minute design changes on the homes. Nothing dramatic. We're still going to have the same amount of rooms, 72 beds in Bemidji and Montevideo, and 54 in Preston. Some of the design changes were sidewalks and some shingles and things like that. But other than that, these are going to be probably the finest veterans homes, long-term care facilities in the region, and we are going to be super proud, and so will the communities when these open.
Now, Doug, what's the timetable for those?
Right now, we're looking for federal approval, which is the 65% matching grant for those three facilities. We're looking to find out in January if we've been approved for those grants. And then construction would start in the spring, and we are planning right now to open in January of 2022.
So that's going to come before we know it.
Before we know it, yes. And there'll be lots of announcements and those sort of things. So you'll know when, if you want to look for a job in one of those facilities, what you need to do. If you'd like to register to become a resident there, what you need to do. There'll be lots of information for all of those three new facilities.
Now, Doug, is there a big backlog of people waiting to get into the veterans' home still?
It depends on location. Minneapolis, because it's in the metro, does have a long waiting list at times. Right now, we're standing at about a year or so. In Laverne, the waiting list is very short. I believe we have about 20 veterans on the waiting list in Laverne. And in Fergus Falls and Silver Bay, we have about a 4 to 6 month waiting list. And in Hastings, which is the domiciliary program, which is for, it's licensed as board and care, there really is not a waiting list for that program. And part of that program is also situated on the Minneapolis campus. So if you have any need to be a resident, please go to the website and apply.
And once again, we had the administrator of the Hastings domiciliary on, and he said Director Kelly's a pretty good feeder program for them, too, to get some of our veterans down there so they can rehab and still get some care.
That's right. Mike Anderson, I think he was on with his three programs, fire, water, and earth program, which he's kicking off. And we're really looking to have those three paths meet the needs of veterans that have those needs.
Well, it sounds like I've got to get down there, but it's supposed to be a beautiful campus, and the veterans that live there give him a ringing endorsement. And it sounds like he's got a pretty good give and take with some of those veterans, too.
He does, and you'll probably have a pretty good give and take when you go down there, too, because I do, and I'll be there this afternoon.
Well, say hello to him for me. Now, these three new homes, Bemidji, Montevideo, and what was the third one?
Preston.
Seems like they're kind of strategically located around the state so that we can try to keep our veterans close to home.
Well, that was brought out in the bonding bill. So the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in the past perhaps gave some suggestions, but this really did come out of the 2018 bonding bill. But, you know, if you do look at where those homes will be located, we pretty much have a circle around the state of Minnesota. Really, the goal is to have a veterans home no farther than 75 miles away from one another. And with this, we meet that goal.
So therefore, the families can come and visit much easier than if they're all down here.
Correct. I mean, it's very challenging for families to come into the metro area. And, you know, it'll be easier when we have those outstate homes up and running.
Now, Doug, I've wanted to ask you this question for a long time, but if I'm a veteran and I just can't live at home very well anymore and there's a waiting list to get in the homes, what can you do to help the veteran if they're trying to get into a veteran's home and you don't have a spot for them? Are there other ways to help them with private facilities?
Certainly. So what we suggest, and we did this with all of our veterans who were on the waiting list at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. What we did was we called them, and one of the questions that we asked was, are you hooked up with primary care at the Minneapolis VA? And this would go for whether you're out of Sioux Falls or Fargo. Are you hooked up with primary care? Because if you need home care to get you through to until you get into the veterans home, that is really a great benefit that's offered by the federal VA at one of the three federal VA locations. In addition to that, there's home care. There's respite, which is adult day, which is a fantastic program. We actually have one on the Minneapolis campus, and I think you've done one or two shows from there.
We have. It's a great facility with a wonderful lady running it.
Right. Anna's wonderful. But what everyone needs to do, and I know we say this quite a bit, is if you have any need for any services, whether it's in-home or whether it's in a veterans home or whether it's at a community nursing home, please contact your CVSO, your County Veteran Service Officer, or talk to your primary care team at your VA.
Or both. County Veteran Service Officers go to training twice a year to learn all the resources available. So that's the first place that veterans should start if they need any kind of help.
Correct. See your CVSO. They're the first spot.
Now, Doug, one of the things that it says here that that you do that we haven't talked about before was you provide VA oversight for over 60 private nursing homes for veterans receiving VA-funded nursing home care and oversights of over 100 private home care agencies providing VA-paid home care. We've never talked about that. Is this another part of your job you're hiding from me?
No, that was a past job that I had at the federal VA. I had that job for 5 years, and the senior director, Simone Hogan, and I ran the community nursing home program. So we had the nursing homes that were in that program in eastern Minnesota and western Wisconsin. We had 63 at the time. And those nursing homes are contracted homes in the community, and there's certain eligibilities for those, and what you need to really do is, once again, talk to your primary care team to be eligible. But once again, with the home care, that really does provide the great bridge. I remember getting several calls when I was at the federal VA about spouses struggling with veteran care in the home, and that home care really does provide a great step until you can get into whether it's a community nursing home or whether it's one of our veterans homes.
So for that kind of care, that was the position you had when you were at the VA Medical Center, VA healthcare system.
Correct.
And, of course, the County Veteran Service Officers are well aware of all of those resources as well.
Correct. We send out, I know Dory from Fergus Falls gives that talk just about every year to our CVSOs. So, If you have any questions, of course, you can certainly come to us and we'll redirect you. But please get in contact with someone who knows the resources that are available for veterans.
Very good, Doug. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Doug Hughes, who was appointed as the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in July 2016. And Doug, one of the exciting things we were talking about in that first segment is there's going to be three new veterans homes coming up over the next couple of years, Bemidji, Montevideo, Preston. And you're going to help a lot of veterans that need to get into these homes, but you not only have to get them built, you have to hire and train some people.
That's probably going to be our biggest challenge is staffing, because we know that in long-term care, as well as most healthcare positions around the state, there really is a shortage. So we really have to be competitive. We really have to get out there and really hit the streets and do kind of a lot of different events to make sure that we get those staff. Because we're going to need probably 500 employees across the state in those three new veterans homes. And that's not just full-time employees. We're also be looking for part-time employees, some intermediate employees, that sort of thing. So we kind of put it together to make sure that we provide all the services that our veterans deserve.
Now, Doug, we're on 57 stations all over the state. So there's people down in Rochester, up by Montevideo. We're in Bemidji. If people out there are interested in applying for one of those jobs when those homes are built, how do they go about it? Is there a waiting list? Can they contact you?
Right now, for those particular three new homes, no, there's nothing right now. You can always go on the state website and look for jobs. And just all you have to do is do a search for Minnesota State Jobs, and you'll see the career page. That'll come up, and you can get prepared for that. Some of the jobs that we'll be looking for in particular will be certified nursing assistants, otherwise known as human service technicians, but there's the CNAs. We'll be looking for licensed practical nurses or LPNs. We'll be looking for RNs, dietary workers, general maintenance workers, housekeeping, all of those kind of jobs, as well as administrator, director of nursing, social services, PT, OT, physical therapy, occupational therapy, all of those jobs. We're going to need someone to fill those positions.
Now, are you looking for people in the five existing homes right now?
We're always looking for employees. As a matter of fact, we had an event in Silver Bay. I think I mentioned this before yesterday, because those positions are in such high demand across the state, everywhere. But if you want to look for me, perhaps a higher purpose on what you want to do, make some great money, and believe me, the state benefits as far as health care, pension, retirement, that sort of thing, we really are second to none when it comes to that. So if you're looking for a job that you want to have more than just a job, but actually a career and making a difference, please apply for a job at one of our other five state veterans homes. And like I said, just go to do a search for Minnesota jobs, state jobs, and the job site will pop up, and look for Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Now, Doug, it seems to me that if I wanted to work in the Preston home, and live down by Rochester, something like that. If I came to you and said, I'd like to work in Hastings for a year or so and then shift down to Preston when you're ready, is that something that you'd talk about?
Absolutely. Because let's say you live north of Rochester, and so you could come up to Hastings, you could work there, and then when the position opened up down in Preston, you could go work down there. As a matter of fact, we've already have some employees who kind of have that in mind. So, yes, that is an absolute possibility. And you're already in the state. You're already an MDVA employee. So that transition from one of our facilities to another is that much easier and probably that much more assured.
Get that training, get familiar with it, and hit the streets running when you get to that new home.
Absolutely. We'd love it.
Now, the other thing we haven't talked about much is volunteers. But you'd be hard-pressed to run those five homes without volunteers.
Absolutely. And we talk about this all the time. Because of our volunteers, and we have hundreds in Minneapolis, we have, you know, dozens in the other facilities around the state, the programming and services that we have would probably be non-existent to the level that we have right now. We go fishing. We go hunting. We go to apple orchards. We have, I don't know if you know, but we had the Fergus Falls choir from the Veterans Home sing the national anthem at the Twins game this summer. And we did that because of volunteers. So if you're willing, once again, to really make a difference in your community and you want to volunteer, please contact that home. Just go to the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs website. You'll see it on there for health care, and you'll see the individual homes, and you can call and volunteer.
Very good, Doug. Now, I understand that the programs and services side of the MDVA has been working hard on veterans' homelessness, but now on your healthcare side, you're adding a new task, and that is to take on ending veteran suicides.
Correct. We are and will be taking this as one of our most, serious tasks that we possibly have, because there's nothing more tragic in a family or in a community than suicide. We are starting to get organized with that. We're going to hire a suicide prevention coordinator fairly soon. Paula Nowinski is going to manage that program along with Caroline Schauer, Simone Hogan, and myself. But that is something that we really want to get involved in and find our niche in that when it comes to veterans and possibly a little bit more involved in the rural area than in the metro area, because generally, I say, from working with the federal VA, we know that a lot of times in the rural areas, that's where resources are most short.
And Doug, we've taken on the topic of veteran suicide many times on the show, and the one thing that sticks with me is to watch your veteran. If you see changes in him, if you see him getting depressed, if you see something that's wrong, something's different, what they say is ask him, what are you thinking about? Are you depressed? Do you need some help? Because if you don't, it might be too late. But if you do, help is available from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Help is available. They know how to help your veteran.
That's correct. If you suspect anything, it's just like going to the airport. If you see something or you sense something, say something. And it may not be to that particular veteran or that particular person. Maybe it's to a family member. Maybe it's to a trusted friend. Maybe it's to their healthcare provider. But please do something, because something as simple as saying, I care, I'm concerned about you, can I help you, probably will make a big difference in that person's life.
And then call the crisis line, call the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, call the MDVA, call somebody.
Call somebody.
Let's get some help and take care.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Doug, I want to thank you for taking the time to come join us today in the studio on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
That was Doug Hughes, the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Deputy Commissioner Doug Hughes, Lieutenant Colonel Rich Brumman, Captain Melanie Nelson, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about help available for caregivers and visit with the VESE chapter of the AUSA about toys for military kids. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.